Okay, thanks very much. Jonathan did mention iSpot earlier on, and this is a project that is part of that larger project. And he also mentioned the importance of biological identification, and so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. The traditional method of biological identification is using a key, which I'll explain. One of the other offerings from iSpot is, of course, to use other people to help you identify. So that's the social networking aspect of it. I'm really interested in looking to see how we can use computers to help us with identification, and particularly, of course, because we've all got these sort of quite nice little gadgets in our pockets these days. So the traditional method is using a dichotomous key, which is basically a set of questions. So it might start, does it have six legs? Yes, no, go to different sets of answers. So we have a branching tree of questions which help you focus in by dividing up that search space until you end up with just a single species, which is your answer. And so that's a very simplistic key. Real ones tend to look a little bit more complicated. This one's the key to tons of spiders. Obviously, detail doesn't matter, but you might notice that they are in couplets, each of which has got a fair bit of detail. Some of that complexity goes with the subject. You've got to know a little bit about spiders, about the naming of the parts and so on, to be able to work a key like that. Some of it's actually just intrinsic in the way keys work. This is actually one of the endpoints. It's for the common or garden spider, literally. Family, which would be the most common one that you would encounter if you went out into the garden. But if you notice, it's couplet 37. So to have got here, it's buried deep in the middle of the key. And you would have had to answer quite a number of questions to get here and answer them accurately to get there. So one of the problems about a key is that they tend to be a little bit cumbersome to use. People use them tend to make mistakes, and when they make mistakes, they end up in completely the wrong place. Also, it doesn't match the way people actually tend to approach identification. If you watch people, they tend to do things like spot the distinctive characters, and you can't find that in the key because it could be somewhere anywhere within the number of couplets that are in there. Often people have a hunch about what it is. They think it actually is very like something I do know, but what's different about this particular species compared to the one that I know? Or they make a tentative identification and then want to work backwards to check whether they've got the right thing. Traditional keys support none of those ways of doing it. If we put it on the computer, we ought to be able to support some of those methods. And let me just... That disappeared rather too quickly. But some of the techniques that are possible are the ones I've listed over there. And one is simply to make a branching key interactive on a computer, which you can do, but I don't think it really solves very much. I'm not going to talk about that one. And there are upcoming methods which have got lots of promise, the ones down at the bottom, but they tend to involve other stuff. So there's a whole field of numerical taxonomy which usually means taking measurements of a specimen. There's possibilities of image recognition, which is really not there yet, I don't think. And there's possibilities of DNA barcoding, all sorts of things. But none of those work with the sorts of characters that you can see easily with the specimen that you find in the field. So I'm going to ignore those ones as well and stick with this particular group, which I'll explain in a second. One way is just to rethink what the task of identification is and to think of it in terms of this sort of a matrix. And here I've got some very simple example. We've got sort of mini beasts, things like spiders and slugs and snails and ants and wasps and so on. And then for each of those possible species, we've got characters that we can have. How many legs has it got? How many wings has it got? And so on. And just across to show that it's got it or not got it. And so that means that if I know that my specimen that I see has got six legs, then I can discount some of the species, spider and harvestman and so on, have got eight, so it's definitely not one of them, but it includes various ones. And so that gives us a different way of doing it. And just to show how that can work in practice, this is a very simple key, a multi-axis key. The order in which you do things now doesn't matter. And here I've got different characteristics. number of legs, number of wings down here at the bottom. Each one of these cards corresponds to a different species, and there are holes along the edge. So if I say that it's got six legs, I stick my pin through there, and then the species that drop out are the ones with six legs. And if they have no wings, I can drop that out. And I'm left with actually just three species at the moment. I need to do something else. What about this? If I'm thinking about this particular species, which is an ant, six legs, no wings, it also has a waist. So if I do that, I'm left down with one species, and that's the one that corresponds to an ant. So that shows you how
I've seen a flying ant.
You've seen a flying ant, and that needs to key out somewhere else as well. But going back to difference that makes a difference, you can see those differences quite clearly in that table there, and they can be very clearly encoded in the presence and absence of holes around the edge. So it's a very simple demonstration of how difference helps you decide identification. Problem here with that sort of method is you're excluding stuff. So as soon as you say it hasn't got something, that drops out of consideration completely, and so you could go the wrong direction, and so you might end up with not identifying a flying ant, for example, because it didn't show a character that you anticipated. So there is another way of approaching this. Rather than doing simple inclusion-exclusion, which is to work on a Bayesian approach using probabilities, which is to say that when a character is present, it increases the likelihood of that particular species, but if it's absent, we don't get rid of it completely, the likelihood goes down, but not vanishing completely. So conventionally, we stick with those sorts of numbers down at the bottom there, and as evidence accumulates, the prior probability will change for the set of species that you've got there until you end up with one that's very likely. And so how this works is that we keep species always in an order of likelihood, and the prior probability can be set by known facts about the distribution. So if I know that a species occurs in this area, then its likelihood is going to go up. Rare species, likelihood could go down. So you can start with different likelihoods and then change as it goes on. Information we also use in terms of the characters. So I use Shannon index to work out which are the most efficient characters in order to discriminate among the species that are there. And so that's how that one is formulated. I'd like to show you that very briefly if I can, just to show you what it actually looks like in practice. I'm going to pick... what if I could scroll the thing? I was going to take an example of a woodlouse, and because it's a slightly more complicated key than the one I've just shown you. Here we have a list of all the woodlice species that you can find in this country. The rare ones are down the bottom. The ones near the top, which are a bit not easy to see, but they have common names, including the word common, which is a bit of a key that they're the common species. You may know a woodlouse that rolls up into a ball. That's a very easy one to key out. So if I say that it can roll up into a ball and it's quite a large woodlouse, then the likelihood of that particular species is coming up near the top and indicated with the ticks to show that's much more likely than the ones I've got there. So that's how the process works. You can pick characters in any order. You don't have to work in a particular way, but they are suggested in efficient order. You can decide when to stop according to when you decide enough is enough, either by taking the hint from the ticks or just by simply looking at the information that we have about species and deciding, okay, that's pretty like the thing I've got in my hand. I'll accept that that's a good identification. And we have other things, features there. For example, the ability to compare species together. Let me just pick an... I can't see it off the top of my head. I'm just taking another common species there. put them side by side to look at comparisons. So you can see images of the two together, also compare across the characters. The things that are in bold are ones that you've already described and which agree. If they're there in italics, like this particular bit up here, that's something that you've made a description that doesn't agree with that particular species. And also, very usefully, this distribution map that comes out at the bottom here, which are information from the National Biodiversity Network, which will confirm or refute whether it's a likely thing. And that information can be given before you start the identification as well, which I won't go into detail. Just to say, just to finish off, that we have this available on a mobile browser as well, so you can work on mobile devices. The final point is that we can also make the process of developing new keys very easy. At the moment, you need to log in, so only certain people are allowed to do it, but we're hoping to make that much more public. Uploading it is to the server, and once you upload your new data, it runs everything automatically. The data itself is, as I showed you, is basically just an Excel spreadsheet. So the key author is just creating an Excel spreadsheet. This is a more complicated one than the one I initially showed you, but it's the Woodlouse one there. And behind the scenes, that's turned into XML, and then that is what actually drives the key itself. So once you've uploaded it, that's exactly what comes out of the Excel spreadsheet that was there. So I'll stop at that point. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much then, John.